Okay, that'll work.
We rocking with that. But we got to talk about the Olympics. And there's one thing that a lot of people is not talking about when it comes to the, well, at least I haven't heard it a lot, right? That is the, and I think we've talked about it back and forth, but stat wise and impact wise, that this is most likely going to be the last time we see Curry, KD, and LeBron on the floor at the same time on the same team outside of an All-Star game. So my question to you is, did we appreciate this gold run as much as we should because of that? Or are we just looking at this like, well, y'all supposed to do this? Like the impact of it, because when I look at it, I didn't realize that this was Curry's first gold medal. And that's telling in itself, because you see how hard he played?
Well, you know, one thing I can say, first and foremost, great minds think alike, because I literally was contemplating doing a bonus episode on my podcast just about these three guys.
Yeah.
And saw a picture this morning, and it's a picture of the three of them standing together, you know, for a photo op. And, you know, it really kind of jumped at me at that point. I mean, it's something that I pondered and paid attention to, and I talked about it in some of my group chats, was like, I really appreciated seeing Steph and LeBron in particular on the floor together. Mm-hmm. And I even said in one of my group chats, I told the homies, I said, man, listen, I know it would never happen. I was like, but if you could find a scenario where Steph and LeBron were on the same team, despite who you put around them, I said, I think that they could win a title together. Mm-hmm. I honestly, at their ages right now and at the games that they were at right now, if you take, let's just say you take Steph and put him in L.A., which I know you would love. and you know what? You could take AD off the team. Mm-hmm. I literally and truly believe that they would be a playoff team that would win a title. Because I think what you see is, you really get to see the brilliance of LeBron. And I'm not saying that he doesn't play hard every night, because we know that he does.
Yeah.
But I think when you see him on this stage in particular, where he doesn't have to do everything, mm-hmm. you know, you would watch him on a night-to-night basis being a Lakers fan. He does everything but make the popcorn at the Staples Center, right?
And sometimes he does that.
and take up, you know, parking tickets in the parking lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the same for Steph. And I think their games really complement each other. And the thing that I really marveled at, especially watching them together earlier in the Olympics, like in the first couple of games that they played, was how well they play off of each other. And we've seen that in All-Star games. But, you know, you don't really get a lot of defense or whatever like that. But in particular, these last couple of games, I mean, LeBron was literally the MVP of the Olympics. But, you know, you can make a case that Steph was the co-MVP. And then when you throw KD in there, who missed a couple of games, and when you add his talent, you know, we've seen Steph and KD play off of each other. And one thing I'll take you back to, Baylor, is right before Steph hit that crazy shot in the final game against France, he was double teamed, right?
Yeah.
And he passed the – if you watch the replay, he passed the ball to KD. But given the fact that KD and Steph had played together, Steph knew that he was going to get the ball back. KD got the ball knowing
they ran. They ran their Golden State Championship run offense between them two and Kerr. We seen it.
Exactly. And he gave it right back to Steph. He still had a double team. And – you know, but those last three possessions, Steph was getting double teamed, but it was him and KD, you know, two-man game.
They have a picture of Steph getting the shot off and making it, and there's KD, I forgot who, I think it was either KD and Bron or KD and somebody else that was, I guess it's natural for them to have their hands up. Especially if you're a shooter, you naturally just going to put your hands up, hey, I'm open. No, they literally was open.
Mm-hmm.
They could have, like Steph could have passed the ball to Bron. Let's just say the second person was Bron, and Bron could have just passed it to KD. That's how much time they had.
And that's the thing, like seeing the three of them play together. Yeah, this is the end of the era, because you got to know that 4 years from now in LA in 2028, where the Olympics would be. Yeah, it would be great for LeBron to play in his, you know, hometown. But the reality.
That would be good. That would be a goal. That would be a going away present if LeBron was to do that.
Exactly. But the reality is LeBron's probably not going to play four more years.
Right.
Steph and KD probably could because they would be scratching 40 at the time. But, you know, they're so gracious and everything. I think they would be like, nah, you know what? Go ahead and give it to the next generation. I'm not going to play.
Right.
And that's not, and that's just assuming that they're going to play at this high level. The one thing I want to, you know, kind of push along to your listeners, Baylor, is that something that I've constantly said more so over the last 4 or 5 years, love or hate LeBron, we're not going to see this kind of talent ever again.
Oh, that's
especially
a fact.
For this long period of time, because normally you and I watch basketball a long time. When you get to be 38, 37, 38, 39, 40 years old, and if you're still able to be in the NBA, you're like the 12th man. You know what I'm saying? You might be the 7th man off the bench. You're ML Carr on the sideline waving a towel. You know, you're Chile and your team, or you're the vet in the locker room. You're not still the guy.
You're not.
I know, and there's always the comparison between, you know, the 40-year-old Mike and the soon-to-be 40-year-old LeBron, and they're not the same because Jordan was in a different situation. It would have been different if Jordan had been in Chicago. Then we may have seen that type of Jordan. But even in saying that, and I, you know how much I love Mike, we wouldn't have gotten this. At the time,
you got to think, like, there's people in this world that believe Michael Jordan was crafted from God himself. So MJ didn't have to. MJ didn't take care of his body like LeBron has. The technology is different. The stature is different. They just have two different genes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just different. So
I tell people all the time, like, I've been fortunate enough to see LeBron play in person and to be up close. Mm-hmm. And no, everybody can't sit on the floor. And I wasn't on the floor, but I was close enough to the floor. But I mean, like, when you realize how big he is and how strong he is and how fast he is, even still at this age. I mean, we saw moments in this Olympic run where, you know, dog, he's coming down and he's up high, jumping and dunking and blocking shots.
Did you see how he bullied Vince Victor Wambabadoodabababamboom?
Listen. There was a point in time in the semifinal game against Serbia where Serbia's throwing the ball down low to Joker. Guess who's guarding Joker?
Yeah.
It's not Embiid. It's LeBron.
So to my cousin, that's what I've been talking about LeBron's whole career. This goes all the way back to when they played Dallas in the finals, and they came out of that huddle, and they decided that they was going to put Haslam Bosh on Dirk, and I said that's not going to work. You need somebody who is strong and quick at the same time. LeBron has, for the most part, has been the most athletic person on his team. He's in that, and his height is in that area where you can hold down the fort if you have to play the four or the five, you know, and you're overpowering if you're playing the three because whoever else, they don't have too many guards, you know, too many point guards or shooting guards, and even small forwards in the league that will be able to physically withstand that punishment. So when I say he never really gave it his all, and he quote unquote punked out in certain areas, that's exactly what I mean. Because you don't need a coach to tell you, Bron, we need you to go cause some havoc with Joker in this situation. Mm-hmm. Why was it so important? Is USA versus the world.
That's right.
Then on top of that, everybody that you you had bumped, not necessarily bumped, but your enemies in the league, he has played against both KD and Curry in the finals. You know what I mean? So, and on multiple, you know, he played against KD when KD was with the Thunder and Golden State. And you know what I'm saying? So he's familiar with them. To have that championship pedigree amongst them three on that court at the same time, and knowing that this is going to be Curry is going to be retiring soon. So to give him that present of, hey, and he earned his present because he was the one. I'm going to give a shout out to my UCLA guys in a minute. But Curry said, dog, I'm going to go get this. This is the one and the only thing that's missing for my resume right now.
Right.
Is going to get a gold medal. And he did it for Melo. We already know. You don't need to know if you know. You know what I'm saying? He did that for Melo as well. I bet you Melo was itching to get out of there.
And you know what's interesting is, like, I saw a clip that the Warriors put out of them on their championship. I guess they were on a plane or something like that right after they won the championship, their last championship. I guess they were coming back from Boston. And Curry said, "Coach Curry, you need to put me on for 2024. Put me down. I got one more thing to get." And they put that clip out, you know, specifically because, to your point, that was the last thing missing on his resume. Not that he had to have it, because I don't think anybody's going to care one way or not if Steph Curry's not an Olympian. But the fact that he competed for it and won it and played as well as he did, he got off to a slow start. I had a couple of games where the shot wasn't falling. It happens, right? But to
as long as you
him,
pick it up. As long as you pick it up. And you picked it up in the most important game.
Same for KD. KD wasn't – he didn't shoot – you know, he was shooting the ball well, but he wasn't taking as many shots as he normally would take. But I think the thing that you saw was – and this is one of the things I was explaining to my son Cameron – was that, like, over a period of time, you see these guys in the Olympics – and they humble themselves.
Yeah.
They check their egos at the door.
They have to.
I mean, shout out to Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum didn't play much. Halliburton didn't play at all. You know,
at all,
you don't see those guys complaining.
Nah.
You don't see them, you know, complaining or whatever. They got the gold medal. And listen, guys like Tatum and Halliburton know where they stand in that locker room. They know how they stand amongst their peers.
Well, what about this? What about this, Will Cal? To me, Halliburton looked like how he might feel he's represented in the league. Like, you still a little dog. You a dog, but you still a little dog.
He got more ways to go. So he probably left there with a chip on his shoulder. The thing that I love about the thing that we don't see with these guys playing together is the camaraderie behind the scenes, how they become friends, how they become family members, how some of them, you know, get the idea of, hey, man, your deal is up in 2 years. My deal is up in 2 years. You know, man, we should look at playing together. That type of stuff happens because you've had basically, what, 2-3 months of working together. And I think, you know, what you see from these guys is that this is the best team that they'll ever be on. And they can't really publicly admit it, but it is what it is. And so, again, to see Durant, LeBron, and Steph together like that, knowing that, I saw a clip, something on Twitter, a meme, and it said The Last Dance with a picture of
the real dance. The Last Dance,
and it really is. I mean, and here's the thing, Baylor, and one thing I want your audience to understand. If we're being honest with ourselves, Curry, Durant, and LeBron probably aren't going to win a title again before they retire. So this might be it. In fact, this could very well have been it as far as, outside of All-Star games. They may not be playing for much other than, you know, still playing to show that they're the man, playing to show how great they are as far as players are concerned, which they don't need to. But, you know, LeBron is going to retire at some point, and he may have every statistical record in the books. But to be on this stage, and I think what we saw is, and I've read a couple of articles, and it really touched on the fact that how LeBron versus Curry has never been anything personal between them. Now, they battled, but it was never like, I hate that guy. It was like, that guy's in my way. But what you saw is with them playing
together. It's Prince versus Mike.
Exactly. These guys have played against each other, you know, for titles and everything like that. But now they understand that the clock is ticking. They're up against the clock. So, you know, they've really appreciated being around each other and spending the time with each other. I can't even say that there was hatred or anything like that between them. But
no,
I think
when they play, when they
bond and a brotherhood.
When they hoop up, when we do see them together, they look like 12 and 13 year old kids out there.
You could tell
Bron has a much. He just have this. When he passed Curry the ball, it's like that's enough for him. You know what I'm saying? Or if he get a pass from it's just there. Or he pull up from the logo while they on the court together. Like they know how to symbolize each other. They know how to comp. They probably would be the best dynamic duo we've ever seen. But
They would be easily the best. And like I said, I know it's not going to happen. But I've literally spoken about that in the last couple of weeks in my group chats about if they were to play together, because I just think if you follow basketball and you understand basketball and you understand both LeBron's IQ and Steph's IQ, I mean, they're tremendous. And we saw Steph and KD play off of each other, you know, for the years that KD was there, and they have a genuine love for each other. And I think we're seeing that in LeBron and Steph too, you know, now. In a couple months, they'll be back at it again on the floor as competitors. Hell, they may, for all we know, Baylor, the Lakers and the Warriors may be battling for a play-in game spot. Who knows? But it really felt good to see those three guys going at it together, you know, for Team USA. I don't think we could have asked for much more. Steph's heroics obviously were key. LeBron played his ass off, and KD was the spark that we needed, you know, in most of those games. So I thoroughly enjoyed it, man. As a hoops fan, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it was USA versus everybody. And we don't get that every day. You know, as Black folks, it's hard for us to be patriotic, you know, in this country. But
this is the only time they used to have us. Don't get me wrong. They used to give us on 4th of July back in the day. But no, this is the narrative is this is the most American as we gonna get. Is it because we ready for war? We ready for it already.
Because trust me, when I saw a couple of tweets today. You know, when the closing ceremonies happen, then we go back to being back to what we were. Yeah. And that's cool. Yeah. You know, we fine with it. But
we're gonna hold it down, but we're gonna beef, you know, we're gonna have our little internal beef until for another 4 years. But when they touch down in LA.
Man, listen, get ready. It's gonna be everything that you want it to be. I wasn't here in Atlanta where I live now. I came in 97, the Olympics in 96, but even just the residual of what happened in 97 when I got here was crazy. And you could see just the growth and development in the city. I mean, I don't really know how much bigger LA can be because LA's big.
Oh, they already started. We just looked up the details already. They're going to be in 80 different locations. The village will be at UCLA. We already locked in, bro. It's not just going to be – SoFi is going to probably be the main stadium that they're going to use for certain stuff. But no. They said 80. I'm like, it's 80? You know how many facilities that is just in – and you know they want to have them too far. Not too far from, you know what I'm saying? But my wife actually predicted that they will have it at UCLA versus USC because USC is a private university. UCLA is not.
Do you think the ceremonies, opening ceremonies, all this stuff, will be at the Coliseum?
We do not. I mean, I would think so because that's historical landmark right there. Obviously, the running joke is because they've built that area up over there. They have a soccer stadium over there, indoor soccer stadium. As a matter of fact, Terrence Crawford just had his last fight.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what that was, BMO or something.
Yeah. Okay. So that's over there. They built up that area, and I'm like. The running joke is, are they about to have the opening ceremony come down Figueroa? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, at the very least, you're going to have the torch coming down Figueroa.
Yeah, and because...
You can see any and everything on Figueroa.
and when I say any and everything, now I don't think it's going to go down that far. It ain't going to go down to South Central, but I think they might stop at USC. You know what I'm saying? They might stop over there in that area, but I can't.
You think they're coming down Crenshaw?
They might. They just might.
Because
here's the thing, though. We're talking about the opening ceremony. My wife pointed out that Tokyo had one of the best ones recently. And she said, well, how do you think they're going to represent us? I said, I don't know. Maybe a little beach culture, maybe a little lowrider culture. I do not know because we're a melting pot out here. We got the brown and black culture. We got the Asian culture. We have a lot out here. And we've already started the construction. You know, by the time the Olympics get here, the Clippers Arena will be 4 years old.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you got the Clippers Arena. You got Staples.
Yeah, Inglewood is going to be – I'm pretty sure all those venues will be packed. You got the NFL Network right there. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And they got a practice field. They got so many areas, and we locked in. My wife is planning to go. She's planning to go.
You should. And I'm going to tell you why, and for your listeners, too, if you can come, because – you know, like I said, the last Olympics was 96. So it's been that long.
Long time. I was I was graduating and headed to high school.
I was about to graduate from college. So I was about to graduate from college and move to Atlanta. So, I mean, it's been that long. And so we don't, you know, I it's funny because I remember the 84 Olympics, but you just assume that, you know, it's going to be in the United States all the time. But that's not the case. I mean, we may get it once every 20, 30 years. So. Definitely enjoy it. And like, you know, going back to what we talked about earlier, like I said, I doubt very seriously that we'll see KD, we'll see LeBron or Steph maybe LeBron if he's still, you know, around or whatever like that, but I doubt it. But it was fun to see, man. It was fun to see. I would tell people, if you did not catch all of the games, you know, the games are available on TV, go back and watch them, man. They're good watch. The ladies had a great finals game too today as well. I saw that. I saw at least the second half of it. And you know, it was great seeing Asia Wilson ball out of control. So I thoroughly enjoyed it, man. I'm a big track and field guy. I love the track and field, the swimming, most of the events, man. The breakdancing event, we need a little bit more representation.
I was going to ask you about that because
yeah, we need a little more representation. So man. I ain't see too many colored faces.
So three things that I want to bring up because I think they all going to. So when they do come to LA, they're introducing a new sport. Mm-hmm. To the Olympics, not new in general, but they're going to introduce flag football. So hopefully, I want to know the details on how to be a part of that. Not myself,
right?
But I got friends who they've been playing flag football for decades now. So that'd be dope. If it's anything like the process, I need to know the process of 3-on-3 because I don't see why we can't get some of those players from the 3-on-3 from Ice Cube League over into the Olympics, because apparently we got better talent over there. Yeah. But I was thinking today, like, yo, so they're going to introduce flag football, and there's three other sports that are going to bring back that took a hiatus. With that being said, do you think they should just get rid of? We need to talk about no allows too. But do you think that do we need to get rid of the breakdancing? Because that was terrible representation in general. Not just it was just bad all over.
Well, you know, I don't think they're going to get rid of it because it was something that was just introduced for this particular Olympics. So normally with new sports, they'll give you a couple of cycles before they start tweaking stuff. I think they got a chance to see what it was, and they got a chance to make whatever necessary changes they need to make. I wasn't pleased with what I saw. But, you know, I also didn't know. I had very low expectations because I didn't know what to expect. But they got a chance to fix that. Flag football, I'm in. I'm in on. I think that would be dope. I definitely saw some chatter about the 3-on-3 because the 3-on-3 team struggled. Yeah. And I'm like, you could get Ice Cube's the best team from the Big Three. Now, you know, the knock would be, oh, well, these guys are, most of them are former NBA players.
There's a large portion that's not NBA bound.
Okay.
And was never NBA bound.
Okay.
You know, some of them come from overseas, and I mean, coming from the U.S., but going to ball overseas and the Drew League.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not opposed to that, or, you know, Ice Cube using, you know, the best of his Big Three for that. It wouldn't bother me one way or the other, because my thing is, if other countries are sending their best, we should send ours as well. You know, so, but I would love to see if it were to happen, for them to introduce spades into the Olympics. I would be down for that.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Noel Lyles, you know him. Ooh. You, or at least you've heard of him. Yeah. So
he
recently came out and said, hey, I'm not participating. I won't be participating in these other events due to the fact that I participated and had COVID. And I knew it. And I got past everybody. And his not most recent comments, they are fairly recent, said he criticized the NBA for crowning champions as the world champions when they don't necessarily play against the world. My rebuttal was, there's a large portion of the world playing inside the NBA. I strongly believe that Serbia team and that French team can play against just about any playoff team on either side. And it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle because that's a different type of – and we're not playing by Olympic rules either. So none of that offensive goaltending that they're getting away with or anything like that. It's physical, more physical play in the league than in the Olympics. So I'm not disrespecting any other country or anything like that. But if you bring your favorite or your top and you playing inside you playing the Eastern or the Western Conference or the semis or something like that, bro, we're not worried about seeing you. We're not criticizing our teams at that point. We already know the damage they could do. All right. That Timberwolves team was tough to beat. You know what I mean? But how do you feel about the USA basketball team? Now, maybe it ain't necessarily the players, although we know they do have egos, but their Twitter page tweeted out, "We don't play for bronze."
Well, here's the thing. I mean, with social media,
you got to remember, there was a lot. We just finished talking about how once we get back home, we turn that competitive nature back on right. amongst each right. other. Remember, the basketball players versus Noah Lyles wasn't the only beef. You know, right. Simone right. Biles and her former teammate were chitter chatters on Twitter as well.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, you gotta kind of guard against the back and forth on Twitter, because you know, if you stunt on somebody, somebody can stunt back on you. So you better follow up whatever you're bragging about. If you're gonna use Twitter fingers, you better back it up. As far as Noah Lyles, I had totally forgotten about the comments that he made until here recently.
Yeah,
and I think somebody
resurfaced after he took gold.
Exactly. So I think, and I can't remember if I told you this or me and Britt were talking about it. But I think the problem is that somebody should have pulled him to the side and like, hey, young fella, the reason why it's called the World Championships is because it's always been called that from the NBA, NFL, and Major League Baseball, is because traditionally we have the best leagues in the world. There is no other league. For example, the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs were crowned the world champions. There is no other NFL or any other league that's comparable to the NFL.
And there's not another country that could put a football team together. Well, we'll be worried.
Not even close. Not even close.
Now, we might steal some of them to make an athlete. Don't get me wrong.
Right. Oh, of course,
don't get
of course.
Me wrong.
But you don't have a Patrick Mahomes playing in Switzerland.
Oh,
you just
man.
Don't.
Now, that quarterback position, the offensive lineman, maybe.
You don't have a Tyreek Hill playing wide receiver in Botswana. You just
Y'all don't have a Nebraska where they got them corn fed offensive linemen. You know what I mean?
Right. So that's why they're called world champions. So I think somebody should have pulled them to the side and explained that to them. You know, but I think Lyles is and I watched his 200 and he came out there and I was kind of curious as to why he ran out there acting a fool, trying to get the crowd hype, and you got COVID. And, you know, you could tell when he got about halfway through that race, like he went to push for that extra gain and just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And even if he was asymptomatic or if he, you know, was just coughing or whatever, we don't know what his symptoms were as far as COVID was concerned. I did find it curious before the match, you saw him in like the green room and he had a mask on. And so, you know, but nobody said anything. And you know, the way the IOC, I think that's what it's called, or the United States Olympic Committee basically said, you know, if an athlete's test, it's not like how it was 2 or 3 years ago. If you test positive, it's up to you whether or not you want to, race or whatever. You don't even have to really quarantine, you know. So, and I'm sure Noah Lyles probably wasn't the only athlete walking around. I mean, because COVID is back. It never went anywhere.
Yeah, it's there.
You know,
it's there.
Yeah, the remix is out, you know what I'm saying? And it's coming up the charts.
I wouldn't even be surprised if it affected a lot of other athletes in different events.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And you just never know. But I mean, to ask your body to push itself the way that it did, and he went to go for that third gear and he couldn't get there. And by the time he crossed that line, you could tell, like, he was struggling to breathe.
Yeah.
He asked for water and the water didn't help. And when he was on the ground, you could see his, you're never supposed to see someone's chest moving up and down. You saw his chest moving up and down. That means he couldn't breathe. So
one of
my friends that tweeted, they said, "Oh my God, I think he's having an asthma attack." And they did say that he was asthmatic, but I'm like, no, an asthma attack wouldn't do that to you. But if you had COVID, it might.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he looked, and he still won the bronze. I mean, it wasn't like he came in last.
Oh, it's still impressive.
But you gotta, you know, a guy like Lyles has to understand, like, all of that stuff comes with it. So if you're gonna flash on people, you gotta get ready to get flashed on. So if you're gonna use Twitter fingers, people gonna tweet back at you.
That's a fact.
So, you know, I don't think, I hope he learned that lesson. The thing that I'll say about him, as well as Simone Biles, is, real talk, this could have been the last time we see them on the Olympic stage.
That's a fact.
I think both of them are 27. And so, you know, I don't.
By the time you come back around, they'd be in their early 30s.
Exactly. 30, 31. You know, Biles could. I mean, Biles is so much better than everybody else. She could still do it. You know, and, but it's also, you know, she's young. Her husband, who plays in the NFL, he's young. They may want to start a family. And if she has a kid, she's probably not going to go back to gymnastics. And so, you know, so we may have seen the last of them. I think Biles may come back, but that'll be like her swan song.
Oh, my God. Did it hang up?
Yeah, so like I was saying, like, we just don't know. People have been talking about what Team USA basketball is going to look like in 4 years. We don't know, but we'll be fine. We're always
fine. We know Tatum and Halliburton to be there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but we might have Zion out there. Think about where Ant will be 4 years from now. I mean, he's already dope right now. And Ant just turned like 22, 23. So he's still scratching the surface.
Yeah.
It's funny. One of my homeboys put out a list of like players that he thinks will be on that 2028 team. And the last name he put on there, Baylor, was Carl Anthony Towns. And I was like, you got to be kidding. I was like, he is not playing for any Olympic team, but you never know.
We don't know the landscape of the roster with the NBA right now.
I mean, there's speculation that Joel Embiid may not play for Team USA, you know, 4 years from now, which I think would be crazy, but, you know, because he's a U.S. citizen. So,
but his body, though, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. And you just never know. So, I mean, like, I think sky's the limit. Like the kid from Quincy Wilson I mentioned earlier, 16 years old. He's 16 years old and has a gold medal in the 4x400.
Yep, and he'll be 20 by the time he comes to L.A.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, like, the sky's the limit, man. I think we as far as the United States will be fine. The only sport that I think we probably can't catch up in is diving. them little fellas over in China, man, they got it on lock.
Yeah, they just got the body frame to get the job done.
Yeah, they got it, man. But I was impressed, man. I thoroughly enjoyed the Olympics. The track and field, I'm a big track and field guy. Love the basketball, love the ladies, and I love the fact that how, you know, this has been a good break for the WNBA. They'll be back later this week. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark do as they come down the stretch. But I'm also looking forward to seeing, you know, what Asia Wilson and the Vegas squad will do as defending champions. So we got a lot, man. Plus football right around the corner, bro. So you're right. Raiders back in camp.
I'm glad you said football. But first of all, Jay Bug, Caitlin Clark will be in L.A. in 4 years. Just to let you know that.
But ain't gonna like that.
There was a question, and I got some traction on my retweet. A guy posted who's the second scrambling quarterback in the NFL of all time behind Cam Newton. And I said, you got to be smoking if you think he's even in the top three. Because I got Michael Vick and I got Randall Cunningham over Cam Newton. So how do you feel about that?
I agree 1,000%. I mean, Randall was the first scrambler. And people used to try to criticize Randall, but the thing that I loved about Randall was he blocked all that stuff out. He understood that, yeah, he could sling it, but he knew that his legs could get him out of a lot of trouble. And he didn't really have great offensive lines, you know, particularly his time at Philly. By the time he got to Minnesota, he was much more of a passer and less of a runner. Mm-hmm. But that's when we got a chance to see his arm strength. But, man, listen, Randall Cunningham in the open field and, you know, like you said, Mike Vick, I got him at one. The Mike Vick experience was – I literally tell people, like, you just had to be there. It's really hard to explain what he was, because here's the thing. Rarely do you have, and this may have been the only situation where this happened, where the best athlete on the field touched the ball every play. Think about that. The best athlete on the field touches the ball on every play. For the Dolphins, Tyreek Hill can't touch the ball every play.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes is as great of a quarterback as he's not the best athlete on the field. He's a great athlete. He's not the best athlete on the field. But the best athlete on the field when Michael Vick was in his prime.
100% of the offense was on him.
On him. And you didn't
know what he could do. Outside of a field goal attempt.
Yeah, you didn't know what he was going to do. If he had the ability to run for 50 yards, he had the ability to throw it for 50 yards, and his accuracy and his arm strength was unmatched. I mean, like, he, people don't ever talk about how strong his arm was, but, and it was just a flick of the wrist.
Yeah.
And, you know, so Mike Vick, I would definitely put him at one, Randall at two, and then, yeah, probably Cam, because Cam was, listen.
I mean, you still had the Steve McNairs, the Steve Youngs of the world,
but you know
Cordell Stewart.
Where I would give Cam a lot of credit is that if it's fourth and three.
Yeah.
Cam's getting the first
down. Yeah, yeah. That goal line can go. There's so many options on that goal line outside of a fullback dive, halfback, whether you call a pass play. I wouldn't necessarily do that in the Super Bowl when you have Marshawn Lynch. But but we know if there's anybody you need to give the ball to outside of Marshawn Lynch on the goal line, it's definitely Cam Newton, who is the quarterback.
Definitely the best third and short situation, you know.
All he got to do is just lay for him. I mean, what are you, about 6'4", 6'5"?
I saw 6'5".
6'5"?
250.
Come on,
and he
man.
Ran like a 4.5 40. And the thing is, like, I saw many a times where it would be third and three, third and five, and the Panthers would line him up in shotgun and do just a little delay and then just let him take off. And I mean, like, so you're starting 10 yards back. You got to go really, in essence, 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to get seven of them. Then he's going to drop his shoulder and get the other three.
Yeah. So and then he's going to torque his body and get another yard and a half. So.
Yeah, man. He was a problem. But yeah, I wouldn't know. Cam, as much as I love him, there's no way Cam goes at one. You got Mike Vick and then Randall Cunningham and then Cam probably at three.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to check, man. I hit King Germ. King Germ just said he got off work and he about to get something to eat. I'm gonna have to catch him on the next one. You're gonna have to come to the next open run. You know, this one was a random one. I caught 12 Cow while he was doing the Lord's work and cutting his grass.
That's right.
But you know, I just this past weekend there was a lot of entertainment, a lot of sports content. I wanted to knock it out early, and who better to call? It's 12 Cow, man.
Hey, well, like I said, I appreciate it, man, and I literally and figuratively was thinking this morning. I was like, after I saw those pictures, I was like, yo, I need to do a podcast, a bonus podcast on this. But now I don't have to because we just did it.
and for sure, if you want me to send you the audio, just let me know if you want to have it.
This right here is good. This right here is good. But I gotta tell you something. I haven't told you this. And I know I told Jay Boog, I didn't tell Britt, but I got a special announcement coming.
You told me on Friday. You told me on Friday. I haven't forgotten, and you still haven't gave me a time frame either.
It's coming.
No. that's how political talk is. You know, he gave us just enough.
Yeah, it's coming, and you'll be excited.
Oh, wow. Now I'm excited. Now I'm excited.
Yeah,
but
be excited.
Before we get up out of here, I'm going to let you share your information. But I do want to say one thing, though. I think you might be quite proud. I'm thinking about creating your alma mater and bringing them to NCAA football, although I have a feeling that they'll be there next year regardless, right?
I think so, too. I'm hearing that. But if we don't, I appreciate that, man. That's one of the things I loved about, you know, the old college game was playing with my alma mater, South Carolina State University. It's a historically black college located in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And I apologize if y'all hear like planes flying over. I'm literally outside sitting on my lawnmower in the shade. Where it's
at his compound.
Degrees.
At his compound. Don't let's not forget that he's trying to skate by y'all, but he's not telling y'all that lawn that he's mowing, that's not the average point guard. I mean, backyard.
I'm sitting on my lawnmower in the shade in 92 degree weather.
This is the same guy who pays to get his garden. You know, he pays for professionals, but he also pays them to take the day off. Who does that?
I cut my own grass.
Yeah, yeah, we know.
Sunday,
so. We know. But I would like to say, if I do go ahead make the decision of creating that school, that football program, I would definitely create you as the head coach.
Appreciate it.
You know what I'm
saying? Appreciate it, man. That would be dope. That would be dope.
I will definitely make you the head coach. I will take over, and I promise you, I will not leave. I won't leave.
Listen, It's funny, man. My son, Dion.
Oh, you know what? I take that back. I'm going to let you finish your story. But look, I'm going to do as much as I can for that program. But if that Florida State job opens up, guess who's going over here to coach it?
You got to. Man, my son Dion came home from grad school, and he brought his PS5, and all I could do was look at the game. Man, I said I was going to come out of retirement and play, but there's so much stuff going on.
It's a lot.
I had to sit and study it. I was like,
it's a lot.
I ain't ready. I just knew I wasn't ready. So I told him, I said, look, I said, I know you're not going to leave your game here, but I was like, next time you come home, I said, we'll play. I was like, but I gotta sit down and process, because it was so, and the game is so real. It is so real.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, it's a lot. They're making updates every day to try to make it as real as they can.
Every day. I love it.
It's not the same engine that they use for Madden, so it's a totally different feel to the game. We just, you know, a lot of 35, 40, 45, 50-year-old men was just 13 years old a couple of weeks ago.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
That's it. And I mean, you're in the house. You went from outside to in the house.
Yeah.
And so that way, you know, Marcy don't have to worry about where you at. Because you're right on the game.
I tell her every chance I get to remind her, and every chance I get to tell somebody new, I am just like last night. Shout out to Amber last night. We went over to our folks' house to go have some fun in the sun, you know, playing that water, eat some barbecue and stuff like that, chill with the kids, water balloon fights. And I told her toward the end when we were about to leave, I said, yeah, we got to get home because I am, you know, I'm the head coach at Arkansas State. And she said, and she was like, how is that possible? She was like, have you been there? I was like, I've never been to Arkansas. She said, so how is it possible that you're the head coach? I said, it's a remote job. You know what I mean? It's a remote. And so we just told her, like, yeah, it's a video game. But within my 3 years of being the head coach, and not myself, I made Marshawn Lynch the head coach. Okay. He has taken them to a 9-3 record the first season with a bowl game. He then, his second season, proceeded to climb the charts and win a national title for Arkansas State, and currently in my third season, 7-0. So we're looking to go back to back with Arkansas State. Just to let you know, I'm just letting you know the pedigree. So when I do create South Carolina State, just know you getting the winner over here.
Okay, you know. That's what I like to hear.
So look out for those highlights.
Okay. That's what's up. That's what's up.
So let the people know where they can find you, and we're going to get you back to your multi-million-dollar backyard.
For sure. Well, as always, brother, man, like you said, this was random as hell, but when you pulled up on me, I was like, hey, yeah, I got time. I got time to chop it up. 12 Kyle Podcast, a new podcast. New episodes drop every Thursday and every Sunday. You can find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts at for free. You want to follow me on the socials at 12 Kyle at 12 Kyle Podcast. And yeah, check me out. If you like dope content, the thing that I always say about the podcast is like, you know, it's like a potato chip. You eat one, you're going to eat another.
And I really
truly feel like if you listen to one episode, you'll listen to another and another and another. And I appreciate it.
No doubt. 12 Cows, 12 Kyle Podcast. That's my guy. That's my receiver on the team.
For sure.
We're gonna give a special shout out to Bron, special shout out to KD, and a special shout out to Curry, man. Might be the last Olympics we see them in.
No doubt.